is weird, odd, strange, or just plain bizarre is really your cup of tea, then the Golden State Media Concepts Weird News Podcast will give you that fix. Can't believe it? Well, listen for yourself as we deliver the strangest news you definitely won't find on CNN or Fox. It's the Golden State Media Concepts Weird News Podcast.
Welcome to the GSMC Weird News Podcast, brought to you by the GSMC Podcast Network. I am your host, Heidi, and I am very excited to be joined by the wonderful Sarah.
Hello. I'm going to get business cards that say the wonderful Sarah.
Oh, I think you should.
I like it. Thank you.
I'll just pass them out to people. It's not even me. I just know her. She's wonderful. Here's her card.
That's very kind.
I don't know what people would contact you for that's been like, oh, I heard you're
wonderful.
Heard you're cool. Yeah.
That could go a lot of different directions.
Yeah, that's true. That really could.
And this being the Weird News Podcast, it could really go in a lot of different directions.
Some weird directions.
Mm-hmm.
Hmm. Well, moving on.
What kind of weird news that's not about my business cards are we going to talk about today?
Well, the first one is weird, but also funny. And then also terrifying.
Oh, dear.
In the moment, though, looking back, I'm like, yeah, that's pretty funny that happened. But what happened is a student allegedly called in a hoax bomb threat.
Oh, no.
On a plane, which is even worse.
Oh, no.
Yeah. Yeah. Not good.
A student. Are we talking about like a high school student, a college student, an elementary student?
This was a college student. And this happened on the flight is an EasyJet flight, and the reason I don't know this brand is because it happened in France, and the flight had to be diverted because of this fake bomb threat. It occurred on January 18th, and the flight was going from Lyon to Rennes, and it was in air when authorities received an anonymous call that suggested a bomb could be on the plane.
Oh, geez.
So obviously, they freaked out, and maybe they didn't freak out. Maybe they were calm about it, but they quickly returned.
They appropriately freaked out,
yes,
I think.
Yes, they had appropriate fear, and they returned from where they had taken off, but no bomb was found. Authorities then investigated the call and said that the person behind the threat was a 23-year-old college student in Rennes, which is where the plane was going to land. He allegedly didn't want to see his parents, who were on the flight.
Oh, good Lord.
They were coming to visit him.
Oh, my gosh. Oh, my gosh. Okay, so I see where the kind of humorous aspect of this, but kid.
Yeah.
Did he get arrested?
Well, they have taken him into custody, and they have charged him with false news compromising the safety of an aircraft in flight, which, yep, that's exactly what happened.
Yeah.
And his court date is for May 21st. So I don't know if he's in jail, but he has a court date. And if he's convicted, he could face up to 5 years in prison and a fine of nearly $85,000.
And then, dude, I guess you won't be seeing your parents unless they come to visit you in prison.
Yeah.
This is...
You'll really avoid seeing them.
Wow.
The ultimate grounding.
Wow. I wonder how... I mean, do they have that dysfunctional of a family that he felt he needed to do this? Or is he just that... Like,
I don't know.
Not far thinking, because that's not, I don't want to see my parents. I know what I'll do. I'll call in a bomb threat.
Right. Just casual. Always happens, right?
Yeah. No. We've been joking about PSAs while we're hosting shows today. Here's a PSA. Don't call in a bomb threat.
Yeah. Also, he could have done so many other things to avoid seeing his parents. You know, like, oh, I'm sick. Or, I don't know, you could have just left.
Or, I don't know, maybe they could discuss whatever things were bothering him. I really don't, like I said, how dysfunctional is that? Are they terrible parents and he didn't want to see them? Are they just, or was he just annoyed with them because that's what happens relationships sometimes? I don't know the answer to this. But
I don't know. I mean, I feel like if it's just like, oh, I didn't clean my room and I don't want them to see, that's some serious consequences for just not wanting to face the consequences of your parents.
And you're
it's
also
like the ultimate prison consequence.
You're also 23, so you're still young, but you're old enough to know a little bit better.
I would hope.
Interesting.
Yeah. I mean, apparently he didn't because he called
because
it
he
a bomb threat.
Called it in. Wow. And in this day and age, I mean, that's not forward thinking a lot, you know, looking towards the consequences. But obviously you're not thinking of this is the era where we can track everything.
Yes.
So
seriously.
You probably use a cell phone and Because I doubt he was like, I'm going to call this in from a payphone that I found.
Right, that I dug up.
The one payphone left in France. Or I shall buy a burner phone. I don't even know how to do that.
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, yeah. I kind of want to feel bad for him, but I also don't.
Right. Yeah.
Oh, wow. Well, hopefully his family issues get resolved, maybe. Maybe that'll be the bright side.
Bonne chance, yeah. Young man.
It's the breaking point, maybe.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Going on to our next story, this is one that is pretty encouraging. This is about a man who has a emotional support alligator.
What?
Yep. He's from Pennsylvania, and he says that his emotional support alligator helps him deal with his depression. And this is 65-year-old Joey Henney of York Haven, and he has a registered emotional support animal, or his alligator, named Wally. And he says that Wally likes to snuggle and give hugs, despite being a 5-foot-long reptile.
I have so many questions. First off, and this may be silly, but it's Pennsylvania! That alligator's gotta be cold all the time!
Probably.
That doesn't seem fair.
And then maybe that's why all the hugs.
Maybe that's why he's just snuggler. Cold. And then I just don't quite understand. I mean, how did that even come about? Was he just a pet and then he realized that he was snuggly? And I mean, I have bearded dragons and I, you know, they come out and they sort of snuggle with us. They're also much, 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 much smaller.
Yeah, this is and they can't pretty big.
Eat me.
Yeah, I mean, exactly.
I have been bitten once, but not bad. But
didn't try to ingest you.
No!
Yeah, no, this is very different. And I'm not aware of any other emotional support alligator besides Wally. But apparently, this man, Henny, he received approval from his doctor because he didn't want to go on medication for his depression.
Okay.
So he is a registered emotional support animal. It's not just like the people who take their dogs and put the little vest on them.
Right.
Like it's registered.
Does that mean he can take him like on airplanes?
Yeah, I think so.
And who wants to sit next to Wally? I mean, I don't even know how that would work.
I would be very scared to sit next to him, but I don't know.
Yeah.
He was actually rescued. I mean, this makes sense. The alligator was rescued outside Orlando, Florida.
Okay.
So, I mean, I feel kind of bad that he was moved to Pennsylvania after that. But when he was rescued, he was 14 months old. And Joey says that the alligator Wally eats chicken wings and shares an indoor plastic pond with a smaller rescue alligator named Scrappy.
This is a children's book waiting to happen.
Yeah. He also has an indoor pond.
Yeah. Well, I mean, I feel like you kind of have to because it's supposed to be like 30 below in that part of the world coming
exactly.
up. And Wally cannot be out in that.
No.
Neither should Scrappy, for
no.
that matter.
Also, that's a big commitment. You put a pond in your house.
Yeah.
You really... I mean, like, he adopted Wally before Wally became an emotional support animal.
Right.
So even before, I guess, he became that, for Joey, he's still, like, you know, that's still a big commitment. You're really putting
yeah.
yourself out there for yeah. an alligator. A 5-foot, you know, an alligator that'll become huge.
Right. 5 foot is maybe kind of small for an alligator.
Yeah. I saw some pictures. He didn't look like a giant alligator, but that's still big.
Interesting.
But apparently... Joey takes Wally to schools and even senior homes where Wally can be a comfort and bring joy to others.
Oh.
Yeah.
See, I love animals, and I know that they are a joy and a comfort, but I also just have this fear that Wally's going to eat a small child or an old person. Don't
well,
eat anyone,
yeah.
Wally, please.
I mean, part of what I would not understand is how does Wally know? Like, I mean, with Joe, you know, he's like, oh, well, he feeds me.
Right.
But, you know... Your grandma at the senior home, that's
right.
that's not someone he recognizes.
What movie is it where they keep saying fish are friends, not food?
Oh, Nemo.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like, does Wally understand? These are friends, not food.
Well, so far he has. But his owner does acknowledge that Wally is still a dangerous animal and could probably tear his arm off. But he said that he's never really been afraid of him. It's just that he's aware of the potential threat. Which is not super comforting to me, especially because he's bringing him to schools and senior homes.
Right.
But, works for him. So, good job, Wally, on not eating anyone yet.
Yeah, nicely done, Wally, but...
Yeah. I mean, as long as he's being fed regularly.
I guess. Do you think Scrappy gets jealous that he doesn't get to go on, like, field trips?
I mean, I would be. Although, maybe Scrappy's just a homebody.
Right.
You know?
Scrappy's the introvert of the family.
He just wants his chicken wings and his pond and the TV
General
on.
General Hospital.
Yeah. Just the daytime soaps. He's fine.
I have my stories. I'm fine.
Yeah.
Go ahead.
That's exactly what an alligator would be like, all scaly. He doesn't need to go out. He's like, it's below 30 out there. Exactly. I'm not going outside.
People enjoy yourself.
Yeah. Go to the senior home. I'm fine. But I guess Wally would then be, he's the working one of the relationship.
Right, so. Right. Yeah.
Yeah. But I mean,
this is definitely a children's book that needs to be written.
I agree. As long as Wally doesn't act up and do anything bad, this would be a good children's book.
Yes.
So, I mean, I'm glad for the pair that they can help each other out.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, emotional support alligator. Didn't know it could happen, but it can. There's Wally. Also, I would be really curious if anyone knows of any other emotional support alligator out there. Yeah. I have not heard of any other one.
And we're talking about like actual emotional support alligator, not, you know, you're not like my bearded dragon Squirtle that I just pretend is an emotional support dragon.
Just to go inside stores with it.
Yeah. Actually official.
Yeah. Yeah. I'm interested. If anyone wants to let me know, please.
Yeah.
Send me info. So we're going to take a break and then we'll be right back and keep talking about some more weird news stories.
Check out the show built around the women of MMA. From the UFC to the extreme cage fighting, we got the fights covered.
Listen.
It's the Golden State Media Concepts Women's MMA Podcast. The latest news of upcoming fights, discussions of previous matches. Join us as we talk to and about the biggest names in women's mixed martial arts, past, present, and future. When it's the women's fight game, you know where to listen to. The Golden State Media Concepts Women's MMA Podcast.
Welcome back to the GSMC Weird News Podcast. We are continuing to share some strange and interesting stories. We have talked about an emotional support alligator. This is another animal story, too.
I want to say, how can it get weirder than an emotional support alligator? But I know it can.
Oh, it can. It can.
I mean, it's the Weird News Podcast.
It just gets weirder.
Yeah.
So we're talking about octopuses, which I also recently learned the plural is not octopi. It is octopuses,
really?
Which is disappointing.
I feel like I've been lied to.
It doesn't roll off the tongue.
No, it doesn't.
And
I apologized to the audiobook I was listening to last week where it was octopuses and I was like, octopi! Okay, I apologize for yelling that in my car.
Well, I thought that when I read the story, I was just like, they have got to be wrong. But then they just kept saying it and I'm like, oh, well, I guess not. I mean, they have fact checkers, I assume.
Never assume.
Yeah, assume. So this is about not just the octopuses, but their apparent octopus whisperer, who is a 84-year-old man named Wilson Menashe. And he is 84, and he estimates he has spent 7,800 hours of his life hanging out with octopuses.
Okay, so cool. He clearly likes octopuses.
Yes.
I really can't say that. That's
I know.
It doesn't roll.
It sounds
tongue,
weird.
Right.
Yeah.
But when I think of like the dog whisperer, he trains dogs. So does this guy train? Can I just keep saying octopi?
You can say it to me, just between the two of us.
Does he train this plural of octopus? What does he do with them?
Well, he doesn't really train them. He more just like exists with them. Before he was an octopus whisperer, about 25 years ago, Wilson was a chemical engineer. But then, after retirement, he began volunteering at the New England Aquarium in Boston, which is where he spent all of these hours with the plural octopus. And his time has been the equivalent of about 4 years working full-time. And he really just hangs out with the octopuses. And this is a quote from him. He said, I've been able to interact with them from the beginning. I do not know why. I cannot explain it, but I can connect with them. And so I guess that's why he's considered the octopus whisperer, because he just feels a connection to all of the octopuses at the aquarium.
So does he get in the tank with them?
He kind of just like handles them.
He's
not like swimming around.
Right. I'm just curious as to how this relationship, you know, you go to volunteer and somehow you end up holding an octopus. I'm sort of picturing now, you know, like the volunteers who hold the premature babies. I'm picturing him like canoodling with
an octopus. It kind of sounded like that. Like he would be like petting the octopuses and like playing with them.
And they seem, he thinks that they're responding to him.
Yeah,
and
apparently.
So I wonder what that looks like, because I don't feel like octopuses have a lot of facial expressions.
A lot of ways to express affection.
Right. I mean, are they like stroking their little tentacles down his face? Oh.
Well, I guess they just like wrap their arms around his arms and stuff.
Interesting.
Yeah. He also works with them to design different puzzle boxes. He also rubs their back and he like wrestles with their arms. And like all of these things are to ensure a really that the highly intelligent animals get lots of stimulation and that that helps them thrive and stay healthy. So it's not just like petting them. He's also like building things for them. And I guess because the octopuses are so intelligent, they need to have the stimulation in order to thrive in like a captive environment.
And do you think that they, you can't answer this question, but I'm just curious. I wonder if they've noticed a difference in like octopus behavior, or are they responding in different ways? Are they, I don't know how you measure octopus happiness, but I wonder if there is some recognizable change since, what's his name?
What is it? Wally?
Wally.
Wilson.
Wilson.
Wally was the alligator.
Well, yes,
this is another
you're right.
W name. This okay, is Wilson. Wilson.
Okay. Yeah.
I mean, I would assume that's how they know. I guess it just helps them survive in captivity. And also, apparently, Wilson is very good at building the octopus puzzles. He's, like, particularly good. I think that's probably because he was a chemical engineer, so he has, like, an analytical mind.
I was really hoping you were going to say he was an octopus in a former life.
Maybe.
Maybe.
Maybe that's what it is, that they just sense the octopus.
Yes.
So, he, as I said, he's built puzzles, and one of the reasons, like, is because they're intelligent. And also, these are Pacific octopuses, and they are carnivorous predators. They have an average lifespan in the wild of 3 to 5 years. They can be about 9.75 to 16 feet in size,
ooh,
which is huge, and they can weigh 22 to 110 pounds. They can also pack enough strength to kill sharks and other enemies, which is crazy.
Yeah. Wow.
Yeah. So he's working with these giant animals that are very intelligent, building them puzzles and petting them.
So I'm rethinking that whole, like, holding them like a newborn
yeah,
scenario.
Maybe a newborn octopus.
Right. But like the 16-footer. Oh, maybe not.
That's holding him.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
Holding him like a newborn.
Yeah.
Experiments have also shown that octopuses, they're colorblind, but they are supreme masters of camouflage. And they have a complex system of pigment cells and nerves and muscles that allow them to change skin color in the blink of an eye to match their surroundings.
Yes, I have read that, which is fascinating. They're like chameleons, kind of.
Yeah, yeah. And it looks really cool, along with all the eight arms.
Yeah, which the science behind that is fascinating, because they're colorblind. So there's some other, you know, science going on there. It's not like they're looking at the environment around them and matching their body color.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's really cool. It's really cool to see, if you go to an aquarium, see them change color and mm-hmm. all that, and just see them pick up different shapes and all. Also, Wilson has said that he finds it surprising how the octopuses can tell the difference between people and then react differently, apparently, depending on the person.
Oh, so they can actually, like, I mean, obviously they seem to recognize Wilson, but they seem to be able to differentiate between other humans as well.
Apparently.
Mm.
And also he has, Wilson has made the octopuses different toys and whatnot, or different puzzle boxes, and he'll put different latches on the on the boxes to see if they can figure out the octopuses, how to get the food inside the box. And apparently, though, sometimes, like, he's always surprised by how well they can figure it out and get the different latches, even if it's a latch they've never seen before. But apparently, sometimes they just get frustrated and just smash the box because they just don't want to fiddle with it anymore.
I'm done with this.
Yeah.
I just want the food. They're hangry.
Oh, for sure. I mean, they have so many arms. I feel like after they've exhausted all of their arms, they're like, this is just silly.
Yeah.
Which, I mean, if I could just smash it to get my food, yeah, makes sense.
Right, yeah.
So I don't know. I guess he's always fascinated. Wilson said he's always fascinated by like the different personalities of them as well.
Yeah.
So I don't
How
know.
Interesting that he's found this niche, this passion.
Yeah.
In his retirement. I mean,
good for him.
Good for him. And maybe we all find something that we enjoy that much and we seem to be that good at.
Maybe we all find our octopuses.
Yeah. Follow your octopuses.
Our retirement octopuses.
There's a slogan in there somewhere.
The aquarium should use that.
Yes.
Also, one of the things that makes Wilson really good for working with octopuses and particularly designing their toys is that he has an eye for detail. And he is patient and willing to experiment with different things to figure out what they want. And according to Bill Murphy, who is a senior aquarist, so I guess he works with all the aquariums, he said that all of these factors make Wilson a perfect octopus whisperer. And he said that every octopus is different, so you can't always use the same rules for everyone and you need to change it up. And that's what Wilson does to keep them all entertained and all of their different needs, I guess.
Never even thought that octopuses needed to be entertained, so that's my bad.
I mean, I guess if they're really intelligent and you're just in a box, that's that would be frustrating. Someone just throws the same toy in there, I'd get mad.
I agree.
Also, Wilson has said that spending time with the octopuses and the other animals at the aquarium give his life a whole new purpose in retirement, which is adorable. He has said, "Just being here has been to me a lifesaver. Gave me something to do, gave me different interests, and showed me the world is a wonderful place to be."
That's really sweet.
Yeah, it's really inspiring.
I wonder if Wilson is married. Not just because if he's not, I really want to him to be on online dating and have this as his profile.
Octopus Whisperer?
Yes!
I wonder if, I feel like someone will take that the wrong way.
I didn't even think about that.
But he is married, and he said that because the octopuses have little suckers on their arms, he says that when he first started working there, his wife was wondering why he had so many hickeys on his neck. But then he joked that once she realized how close they all were together, she kind of put the pieces together.
Right. But you've been working with octopuses. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Tell me another one. Yeah. I'm just picturing
What's
that.
The octopus's name? Right. Huh? What are they wearing?
Now I'm picturing that commercial. Well, he sounds hideous.
Yeah. Exactly.
She sounds hideous. Well, he's a dude.
He's wearing khakis.
Exactly. Well,
the octopus.
He's an octopus.
Yeah, he's khaki. I don't know. But he changes all the time, so it's hard to say.
Being with a different octopus every day.
Oh, gosh. The different... Oh, man. I wonder if he has a favorite octopus, though. I don't know. Maybe at that point he can't pick favorites, but I wonder.
That, you know, but you tend to. If they have different personalities, there's probably
that's
one
true.
That just, you know...
But they don't have that. They have to just have one Wilson. They don't get to choose their favorite. I hope they like him.
They seem to.
Yeah. And he's been working with them for so long, I'm sure.
7,800 hours, apparently.
Yep. So quite a relationship between the Octopus Whisperer and all of his octopuses or octopi.
Yeah.
If you want to be improper. We're going to take another break and then we'll be right back and keep talking about some more weird news stories.
This is your ultimate stop for everything sports. The Golden State Media Concepts Sports Podcast. Should I say more? From the NFL, MLB, the NBA, to MMA. It's all in here. The Golden State Media Concepts Sports Podcast. Listen now.
Welcome back to the GSMC Weird News Podcast. We are continuing to talk about some strange, interesting stories, and I'm just going to keep up the theme of animals because we are going on to talk about a runaway emu.
Ooh.
Actually, two runaway emus.
Oh, did they run away together?
They did.
Aw.
I mean, it didn't really end up maybe like they wanted, but they did run away together.
Okay. Why?
Well, this happened in Galveston, Texas. And the police had captured this pair of runaway emus. They had been on the run for a day. They escaped their owner's backyard. And apparently, though, the emus are not allowed in this particular town.
Oh.
But the man who had them didn't know that.
Oh, jeez.
And he had brought them. Also, I didn't know this. Galveston, Texas is an island, which I had no idea.
Yeah.
I didn't know that Texas had islands until this story with emus.
South Padre Island? Yeah.
Yeah. Well... they were brought to the island after the death of their new owner's mother. So she had owned them at her home in Houston, where they are permitted. I mean, it's not really clear why they escaped, but when they were at this...
They're just looking for a different view, different environment.
Maybe they were like, oh, an island.
Yeah. I've never been on an island. Let's go see what this is about.
And when they escaped, the owner, he didn't... I guess it's because he was their new owner, but I guess the backyard just wasn't as secure as he thought, you know? And, I mean, that's a pretty big bird,
Yeah, it makes me wonder, though, why... See, he was their new owner, so their old owner died. Mm-hmm. Were they related? Did he inherit them? Did he buy them? What happened?
It was his mother, actually.
Oh, it was passed. His mother. Okay, yeah. I misunderstood. Sorry. Yeah.
Not the emu's mother.
Well, yeah. No. I didn't think it was that. I just misunderstood.
Yeah, so it was their new owner's mother who had passed, and so they were her birds. So I guess she just had two emus in Houston, which... Sure, makes sense.
Okay.
The birds were captured near an elementary school in the morning. So I don't know. The officials said that because the owner didn't realize that there was a ban on emus in town, the owner is working to find a off-island home for them.
I wonder why there's a ban. Did they say that? I mean, badly behaved emus that have caused the ban to be
emu accident?
Yeah, the emu uprising of 93. I don't know.
I mean, I guess if you live on an island, if there's an emu uprising, that could be really bad.
It could, yeah.
That could, I don't know. They could take over everything.
Uh-huh.
Maybe there could be an island where they just coexist, but they're not ready for that yet.
If you're from Galveston, please let us know why you have banned emus.
Yeah. I feel like, also, it's very specific. The owner didn't know, so I feel like this isn't, you know, it's not like a really publicized rule.
Right. I mean, yeah.
It just seems like a small print type of rule. I don't know.
Right. But, and I guess it's not even something that I would think of. I've never really thought about, oh, I just inherited these two emus. I should check and see if they're banned.
Yeah. Also, that's a really interesting thing to inherit.
Yeah.
Is emus.
Yeah. I mean, I guess lots of towns have bans on, like, chickens in the city limits. But chickens can be noisy.
True.
Especially if you have roosters. I don't know if emus are noisy.
I'm not sure. They look kind of cool. Yeah. But the article didn't say if the new home was going to be owned by the same person, like the new place for the emus, or if he was just going to give them to someone else.
Right.
It didn't specify, but I don't know. Maybe he's going to pass them on to someone else. Maybe. They're going to leave the family. I'm not sure.
But, poor little passed around emus.
I know. Anyway, that was like the heartwarming story for me about the emus, and I find many of the animal stories to be really cute. But now we're going to go on to a story that is not as heartwarming and also sadly not about animals. But this is just, there can't be a weird news podcast without mentioning Florida. If it's not Florida man, it's just Florida woman or general Florida.
Well, Wally the alligator came from Florida.
He did.
So we've already mentioned it once.
We did. Yeah. That's true. We're going to double down this time on your dose of Florida weirdness. Although Wally, he no longer lives in Florida.
Right.
So
he got out.
Yeah. He left. He went to Pennsylvania. He has a new life. This is about specifically a Florida teacher. And a substitute teacher was so angry with the principal that she smeared human feces around a park pavilion that the principal had rented for her child's birthday party.
No, stop with the human feces, people.
Oh, Florida.
We are not monkeys. We do not fling our own poo.
I mean, well, she didn't really fling it.
Well, but, okay. But semantics.
She, she smeared it, which is bad, but not throwing. Also, this was off of a dispute that she had with the principal. So I can't, that has to be a bad, the dispute probably got worse after this.
I feel like the French dude who called in the bomb threat is somehow more mature and more rational thinking than this woman. How sad is that?
I know. And also, this woman, she's 42. Her name is Heather Carpenter, and she is facing a single count of criminal mischief over $1,000, according to the county sheriff's office. She was released from jail. She posted a $2,500 cash bond. And apparently, the story goes that authorities became aware of the incident, which happened in December, when a witness reported seeing a woman wearing blue gloves and a mask placing human waste and fecal matter on the porous wooden tables and grills in this family park. And I guess the witness said that he was at the park at the time, and he told news outlets that he was shocked and appalled when he walked into the pavilion and he saw what was happening. And the smell, obviously, that he noticed when he walked over towards the tables. He said it was a mixture of urine and feces, oh, and then geez. She just had it on a big cup and was just pouring it out and wiping it in.
That's so wrong. I mean, there's one thing. It's one thing to be upset and want to take action, but that's I can't even form words here. I mean, it's so dangerous and to put the lives of children at risk.
Right.
Wow.
Yeah. The principal of the school that Heather was working at is Allison Foster. She is the principal at Philippi Shores Elementary School in the same town. And she said that she had reserved the pavilion for her daughter's birthday party. And then when police asked whether she knew anyone who might match the description of the suspect, I guess she immediately named Heather Carpenter, who had been working at the school as a substitute teacher. And this principal, Foster, was assisting the substitute teacher, Heather Carpenter, with a professional complaint, but Carpenter was not pleased with how the situation was handled.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
I wonder if she has some mental issues that are undiagnosed. I don't know. I mean, I don't want to excuse her behavior, but I want to find out what the heck was going through her head.
I don't know. Really bad rage. I'm not sure. Also, Heather Carpenter had been questioned by the police, and she admitted she had intentionally placed those things in the pavilion to disrupt the birthday party specifically. And this reportedly cost the county more than $2,300 to replace the tables and grills. But Carpenter has apparently not pleaded guilt. She has pleaded not guilty, which I don't know. I mean, she admitted to it.
She admitted to it. Interesting.
Yeah. Good luck with that.
Huh. That's just gross.
Yeah, it's really bad. And I mean, it's not even like an accidental act. Like, she had gloves on
right,
and stuff.
And a mask.
Was smearing it in.
And she had bodily waste in a cup.
Right, so she had been storing it.
Yeah, that's not an accident.
It's not normal.
No.
No, yeah.
Gross.
So, I mean, I'm really glad that we could end with this wonderful story. Yeah.
Maybe we should have put this one somewhere in the middle and ended with
the emus.
Yeah, the emus or Wally or something. I feel like I need an emotional support alligator right now.
We need Wally.
Who will comfort me in my grossed out state.
And potentially eat you. Yeah.
It would still be better than having this knowledge in my head.
Yeah. Also, side note, that alligator is like almost my size.
It's true.
Like, that's horrifying. But
some people
right.
have an emotional support alligator. I have Heidi. She's pretty awesome.
Same size. Less deadly.
Yeah,
I promise.
She's never tried to bite my head off.
Nope. Probably never will.
Yeah.
Thank you all so much for listening. That brings us to the end of our show. And please tune in to the next GSMC Weird News Podcast.